Introduction to Marian Consecration, Why Morning Glory. When you first saw this book, you may have wondered, why is it called 33 Days to Morning Glory? The 33 days part should now be clear. It refers to the days of preparation, but maybe the morning glory part isn't so clear. I chose this part of the title because I think it best captures what Marian consecration is all about, a new way of life in Christ. The act of consecrating oneself to Jesus through Mary marks the beginning of a gloriously new day, a new dawn, a brand new morning in one's spiritual journey. It's a fresh start and it changes everything. I had the experience of a gloriously new morning in my own spiritual journey when I consecrated myself to Mary for the first time on December 8, 1995. It was the end of the first semester of my freshman year in college. Earlier that semester, a friend had given me a copy of St. Louis de Montfort's book, True Devotion to Mary. When I saw the words on the back cover declaring that it presents a short, easy, secure, and perfect way to become a saint, I was sold. I thought to myself, hey, this is the kind of way I need. So despite having a pile of homework, I started reading. Before I was even halfway through the book, I stopped, set it down, and resolutely decided, I will do this consecration. Afterward, I picked up the next available Marian feast, ran the 33-day prayer marathon, and made the consecration with great fervor. That day totally changed my life. I look back on it now, and I can truly say that everything changed. Everything opened up. It was gloriously new morning in my walk through Christ, now with Mary. Blessed John Paul II describes consecration to Mary as having had a similar effect on him. He even says that his readings of de Montfort's book was a turning point in his life. In fact, his consecration to Jesus through Mary was so important to him that he adopted as his papal motto de Montfort's own words that summarize total consecration to Jesus through Mary, totus tuus, totally yours. Also, it reported that the Pope recited the long version of de Montfort's consecration prayer every day. I've met many people who have consecrated themselves to Mary, and they completely relate to the Pope's words about how it's a turning point in one's life, or, as I put it, a gloriously new morning in one's spiritual journey. It truly does make a difference. It truly is the surest, easiest, shortest, and the most perfect means to becoming a saint, which brings me to another reason why I chose to include Morning Glory in the title. The dawn of the gloriously new saints. As I mentioned in the introduction of Consoling the Heart of Jesus, St. Louis de Montfort predicted a couple of interesting things about his book, True Devotion to Mary. First, he said that after his death, angry demons would come to hide the unpublished manuscript so no one could ever read it. And, in fact, the manuscript was lost for more than a century after his death. The saint wrote, I clearly see that raging beasts shall come in fury to tear with their diabolical teeth the little writing, or at least to smother in it the darkness and silence of a coffer that it may not appear. De Montfort went on to say that his manuscript would eventually be discovered and published, and that its Marian spirituality would help form some of the greatest saints in the history of the Church. Moreover, his prediction about these saints wasn't that they would be just a few people. Rather, he hoped there'd be a whole army of these great saints. This very foresight about the beast coming before the manuscript encourages me and makes me hope for great success. This is to say, for a great squadron of brave and valiant soldiers of Jesus and Mary, of both sexes, to combat the world, the devil, and corrupted nature in those more than ever perilous times which are about to come. In this passage, de Montfort describes the times that would come as more than ever perilous. I don't think anyone would argue with me that we live in perilous times. In fact, in many ways, our time truly is marked by unprecedented evil. But don't worry, because there's some good news. In times of unprecedented evil, God wants to give unprecedented grace. For, as St. Paul wrote, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Romans 5:20. And one of the ways God gives his superabundant graces in our times is by raising up some of the greatest saints ever. St. Louis describes these saints as follows. The Most High, with his Most Holy Mother, has to form for himself great saints, who shall surpass most of the other saints in sanctity, as much as the cedars of Lebanon outgrow little shrubs. How can this be? The saints who have come before us surely are impressive. Moreover, the virtue of holiness in our day presents company included isn't exactly stellar. Yet that's the amazing point. God wants to form saints from the little souls. He wants to form saints according to the pattern of the Immaculate Conceptions of Mary. Look at it this way. The Immaculate Conception of Mary, the grace whereby she was conceived without the stain of original sin, is an incredible gift of mercy. What's particularly remarkable is that Mary did nothing to deserve our merit in this grace, or merit this grace. It was a total gift, won by the merits of her Son. Mary wasn't an embryo in the womb of her mother, St. Anne praying the rosary to merit this gift. Rather, she received it at the very moment of her conception, the very moment she came into being. So she did absolutely nothing to deserve it. It was God's own initiative to give this totally free and wonderful gift. So with us, God is offering the people of our time a powerful and effective way to become great saints. And it's not because we're so good. Rather, it's because our times are so perilous, and God wants his mercy to triumph through Mary. So he gives us poor, sinful souls an amazing gift, what St. Louis calls a little-known secret. Poor children of Mary, your weakness is extreme. Your inconsistency is great. Your inward nature is very much corrupted. You are drawn, I grant it, from the same corrupt mass as all the children of Adam and Eve. Yet do not be discouraged because of that. Console yourselves and exult in having the secret which I will teach you, a secret unknown to almost all Christians, even the most devout. What is the blessed secret? It's the spirituality of a true devotion to Mary, a spirituality of total consecration to Jesus through Mary. It's what this retreat is all about. Before we begin, I should give a summary explanation of Marian consecration, the understanding of which will deepen over the course of our retreat. What is Marian consecration? What follows is the overview of Marian consecration that I presented in my book, Consoling the Heart of Jesus. If you've already read it, there, feel free to skip this section. However, it doesn't hurt to review, right? To properly understand the essence of total consecration to Jesus through Mary, we'll first need to reflect on an important point. Jesus wants to include all of us in his work of salvation. In other words, he doesn't just redeem us and then expect us to kick back and relax. On the contrary, he puts us to work. He wants all of us to labor in his Father's vineyard in one way or another. Why he didn't just snap his fingers and so order things that everyone in the world would individually hear and understand the gospel by some private mystical revelation, we don't know. What we do know is that Jesus relies on others to spread his gospel, and that he commissions his disciples to preach it to all. See Mark 28:19-20. He basically says to them and to us, let's get to work. Of course, that God wants to include us in his work of salvation is a great gift and glorious privilege. Truly, there's no more important work to be done. While everyone is called to lend a hand in the great work of salvation, not everyone has the same role. For example, St. Paul says there are varieties of service and there are varieties of working. 1 Corinthians 12:5-6. He goes on to say that God has appointed to the work of salvation first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then healers, helpers, administrators. Verse 28. Whoever we are, God has appointed us to a special task in his great work. Among the various roles God has given to his children, there's one that's radically more important than all the others, the task he gave to Mary. We all know that God uniquely blessed Mary by choosing her to conceive, bear, and nurture Jesus Christ, our Savior. But do we also realize that her blessed work didn't end once Jesus left home and began his public ministry? After the 3 years of Mary's hidden life during Jesus' public ministry, Jesus brought her back into the picture of his work of salvation at its most crucial time, the hour of his passion. At that hour, we might say he fully revealed Mary's special task, the same task she had begun some 33 years before, and that she still continues. Jesus fully revealed Mary's special task shortly before his death. It happened when he looked down from the cross and said to Mary, as she stood with the Apostle John, "Woman, behold your son," and to John, "Behold your mother," John 19:26-27. At that moment, Jesus gave us one of his greatest gifts. His mother is our mother. Of course, Mary isn't our natural mother, she's our spiritual mother. In other words, just as it was once her task some 2,000 years ago to give birth to Christ, to feed and nurture him, to help him grow and develop into man, so also from the time she first said yes to being the mother of Jesus until the end of time, Mary's task is to give spiritual birth to Christians, to feed and nurture them with grace, and to help them grow to full stature in Christ. In short, Mary's job is to help us grow in holiness. It's her mission to form us into saints. Now wait just a minute, someone might say. Isn't it the job of the Holy Spirit to make us holy? Indeed it is. The Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. It is he who transforms us at our baptism from being mere creatures into members of the body of Christ. And it is he who helps us in our ongoing transformation into Christ through continued conversion. Great, so how does Mary come into all of this? Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. At the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel declared to Mary that she would conceive and bear a son, and that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her. See Luke 1:31-35. When Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word," we can see most clearly that she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit, for at that moment she gave the Holy Spirit permission to conceive Christ in her womb. Thus, at that moment, the already unfathomable deep bond between Mary and the Holy Spirit that had begun in time, at the first moment of her Immaculate Conception, was revealed as nothing less than a two-become-one marital union. See Genesis 2:24. As a result of that union, the Holy Spirit is pleased to work and act through his spouse, Mary, for the sanctification of the human race. Of course, he didn't have to be so united to Mary. It was his free choice and that of the Father and the Son, and in that choice, he takes delight. So it's Mary's great God-given task, in union with and by the power of the Holy Spirit, to form every human being into another Christ. That is, to unite everyone to the body of Christ and form each person into a fully mature member of this body. Therefore, every human being is invited to rest in the womb of Mary and be transformed there by the power of the Holy Spirit, more perfectly into Christ's own image. Yes, if we want to become more fully Christ, then we need to belong more fully to Mary. By going to her and remaining with her, we allow her to accomplish her mission in us. We allow her to form us into other Christs, into great saints. But how do we do this? How do we belong more fully to Mary and allow her to fulfill her mission in us? Simple. We say yes, just like she did. Mary has a deep respect for human freedom. She knows from her own experience in Nazareth what a free yes to God and can do. See Luke 1:38. And so she doesn't pressure us into giving her our yes. Of course, she always cares for her children, but she won't force us to enter into a deeper relationship with her. She surely invites us to such a relationship and patiently waits for us to accept her invitation, but she remains respectful. Still, if we could see how much longing hides behind her silence, we'd say yes to her, if only to give her relief. In fact, saying yes to her gives her more than relief. It gives her joy, great joy. And the more fully we say yes to Mary, the more joyful she becomes. For our yes gives her the freedom to complete her work in us, the freedom to form us into great saints. This freedom brings us to this essence of what Marian consecration is all about. Marian consecration basically means giving Mary our full permission, or as much permission as we can, to complete her motherly task in us, which is to form us into other Christs. Thus, by consecrating ourselves to Mary, each of us is saying to her, Mary, I want to be a saint. I know that you also want me to be a saint, and that it's your God-given mission to form me into one. So Mary, at this moment, on this day, I freely choose to give you my full permission to do your work in me, with your spouse, the Holy Spirit. As soon as Mary hears us make such a decision, she flies to us and begins working a masterpiece of grace within our souls. She continues this work for as long as we don't deliberately choose to change our choice from a yes to a no, as long as we don't take back our permission and leave her. That being said, it's always a good idea for us to strive to deepen our yes to Mary. For the deeper our yes becomes, the more marvelously she can perform her works of grace in our souls. One of the greatest aspects of being consecrated to Mary is that she's such a gentle mother. She makes the lessons of the cross into something sweet. She pours her motherly love and solace into our every wound. Going to her and giving her permission to do her job truly is the surest, easiest, shortest, and the most perfect means to becoming a saint. What joy it is to be consecrated to Jesus through Mary. Now we're ready to begin the retreat and learn more about this blessed secret and the man who so powerfully proclaims it to the world, Saint Louis Marie Grigonian de Montfort.